So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
How's it all going?
It's going pretty bloody good, actually.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's like there's flicks in that, there's movies in that,
movies
there's
in
shows
that.
In that, there's cinema in that.
Film in that.
And sometimes there's Megalopolis in that.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure is any of those things I just mentioned, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you know, it's Megalopolis, but or is it Megaflopolis, as a lot of people are potentially saying.
Is it Megaplopolis?
Megaplopolis.
I think that's probably down the... lower IQ part of the discourse.
That poor joke. That poor joke.
So this is Francis Ford Coppola's Big Swing. Sold his vineyards, spent $140 million of his own money.
Holy
making heck. The film he's wanted to make for a long time. A decision that I hugely applaud.
Yes.
What is wealth for but to make things that no one else would do it with? I mean, apart from solving social problems.
Yeah.
But let's face it, if you're... selling your vineyards to make an expensive movie, you probably weren't going to sell your vineyards to alleviate poverty.
No.
So it required some kind of personal tangible benefit.
For something, yeah.
It is going to probably lose $100 million.
God damn.
So it's an interesting exercise. Now, what really surprised me about this, given all of that preamble and sort of all the talk about how ambitious and nuts this thing was, is just it's actually screamingly conventional. In so many ways.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look or feel like anything you've seen much of.
Especially recently.
But I think that mostly comes from, it felt to me like the actors were in different movies to each other.
Right.
Some were high camp, others were kind of mining a overly serious trench. And just these sort of inconsistencies. Look, maybe this is Francis playing with the form. Maybe this thing's just a big train out of control heading towards the cinema screen. I struggled. I found the runtime pretty severe.
Yeah. I mean, 2 hours, just over 2 hours, isn't it? Yeah.
It felt like a little bit more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd recommend an aisle seat for this one for multiple reasons. You'll need to. I've literally had to stretch my legs. Yeah, comfort break was useful.
Look,
there's merit in seeing this, but I did kind of walk away sort of saying to people, you don't absolutely need to see this film.
It's not going to change your life.
I don't think so. I don't think it kind of lands the thematic things it's trying to land.
Mm.
It does feel a bit like... I mean, it's had such a long gestation process. It's sort of hard to know how long some of the themes in the film about creativity, rules... visions of utopia.
Mm.
Sort of how long they've been gestating for. There's a sequence near the end where suddenly there's this rabble and they're all wearing red hats.
Yeah.
All wearing kind of MAGA hats, although it's not crisp and clear that they do say.
I did see a MAGA sign in the movie, like someone holding up a sign.
Clearly, you spend $140 million trying to influence the presidential election.
Yeah, the timing is perfect, isn't it?
Oh, is Adam Driver's character a bit of a Trump? Maybe. So Adam Driver's in the lead. He is like the same sort of competence that he brings to roles where he's kind of just playing himself. When Adam Driver's doing an accent, a voice, or a kind of character that's too far away from him, I don't think he can do it. But when Adam Driver's kind of turning up as a version of Adam Driver, it works. Although he does get lumbered with a lot of quite tedious dialogue.
Yes, yes. Yes, I throughout the movie I couldn't figure out if, you know, I was dumb or Francis Coppola was dumb. In the sense that I was like, is this so simple, the message so simple that I get it instantly, or is it just so above my head that I just can't understand it? I'm leaning towards the I'm a bit dumber because I haven't directed as many films as he is. He brought The Godfather Part 3, didn't he, to the world?
I mean, he did do that, yes. That is, so he's not without, you know... he's made a number of utter catastrophic mistakes in his filmmaking career.
Mm.
I think that's part of why... That's part of his legend, you know. I like these big swing guys. This one, if you've got an interest, I think definitely go to a cinema to see this. I was thinking... I was distracted in the cinema screening, thinking about how much I'd be distracted if I was watching this in my living room. And I think probably I'd check out of it quite quickly and be on the phone. Like it's hard to hold your attention. I think you probably do need to make the commitment of seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah.
With that in mind, though, it doesn't look incredible.
Like some of the CGI.
Some of the CGI is not great, but I think even just the kind of composition and the way it's shot, it doesn't seem like the work of a sort of master director who's shot a lot on film and has you know, created some really striking imagery over his career. There are some scenes where I was sort of going, even kind of shots look like they might be from different movies within this same scene. There's probably on the flip side of this, there's probably people who are having trouble remembering all their bullet points of things they liked about this film.
Yeah.
But for me, I just kind of kept getting distracted by things that I'd. The movie lost its grip on me, and I'd spend a few minutes kind of wondering about the red hats or why these two actors are kind of doing different things.
Yeah.
Watching Shia LaBeouf and Aubrey Plaza in a scene together was kind of funny because Plaza's doing kind of full satirical camp comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that dude is doing, but it's a different energy.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, it's been a while since I've seen him in a movie as well, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. I mean, Coppola made a big deal about putting canceled people in his movie. So he probably identifies with the Adam Driver character who's a genius. And if people just left him alone to being a genius and everything would be great. That's kind of the main theme of the film. I think Coppola identifies with that. But John Voight, another kind of semi-cancelled Hollywood figure, is also in the film.
Yeah.
He's kind of just a lecherous, rich old man. And I kind of feel like that might be the accidental autobiography of this film, that maybe John Voight's more the subconscious Coppola and Driver's the self-identifying version.
Yeah, and so Francis Coppola's been trying to get this movie made his whole life?
I think this is like a decades-long
scenario.
Wow. There's something very admirable about creating utopian visions in a present where we are just grim. But I don't know if this is the one.
Yeah. Hey, fair enough. Yeah. No, I definitely walked out and, I had to watch a lot of reviews afterwards to see what people, anything I missed. And there's a lot I missed. And a lot I didn't miss.
It's a lot of movie, or it's a lot of something.
It's a lot of something.
On a more breezy kind of viewing tip, last week I was kind of in an early week mood for just something pretty easy going, and started watching Killer Heat on Prime Video, which is like a sort of sun-drenched mystery noir starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Shailene Woodley, and Richard Madden. And I gave up on that kind of quickly. Well, it wasn't really doing its work. But instead I watched Wolfs, starring George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Ah, yes.
Which is a kind of pretty heavy star billing.
Yeah.
And like, this is a really nice, no pressure, not going to strain your intelligence.
Right.
Watch a couple of old mates of ours, old mates of each other.
Yeah.
Do their thing. Both turn up to help dispose of an accidental death that would embarrass the other person involved in a hotel room, and it just becomes this kind of two-handed sort of crime caper as they get deeper and deeper in the shit over the course of the movie.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's got a real kind of charm and breeziness to it.
Yeah,
and you know, those guys can kind of carry stuff that might in another actor's hands maybe not work quite so well.
Right,
the charisma factor is definitely there.
The aura, yeah.
So it's enjoyable and kind of like a really middle of the road, probably can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, chuck it on at your house. Most everyone should enjoy it.
Type
vibe.
You can watch it at home and not lose track.
Big time. It's sort of channeling this comic crime tone, maybe thinking about other films from the 70s and 80s kind of here. It's sort of it's got a bit of a charming sort of style we don't see too often now.
Right.
So that's a very low level recommendation.
Two sides of the coin for people out there.
And just one more to spotlight for upcoming viewing. Last night I went to see The Apprentice. This also played at the New Zealand International Film Festival. It is the biopic of Donald Trump's rise to becoming a real estate mogul in 80s New York. So
his early days.
Yeah, totally. So it chronicles his friendship and with Roy Cohn, who's the one of the most vile legal figures in American history, who is very much the mentor to Trump. And this film charts, it's kind of the origin story of a villain.
Wow.
Because where it leaves Trump is a pretty clear line to the present day.
Yeah.
Some discussion about whether it humanizes its very morally reprehensible characters a bit too much.
Like the Joker.
Well, there is absolutely some connective tissue, I think, there. I think with Trump, it's really important to remember that he's not just this obese caricature figure.
Yes.
And while he is that, he couldn't exist without a certain charisma, without a certain capability. Like, he just kind of... He doesn't seem capable anymore, right?
It's got, no.
But as the news of the last decade would tell us, there's still something there. So,
yeah.
So sort of understanding the foundations of the Trump mythos is what's important about the narrative here. But really, the huge sell on this film are the performances. Sebastian Stan as Trump is amazing.
Really?
So often... actors playing real people and taking on their tics and their mannerisms can kind of get a bit OTT. It's a bit studied. Here he's really in the character. Like some of his faces, like his little pouty kissy face. I think everyone can kind of picture the little pouty Trump kissy face.
Yeah,
play a little bit more as jokes than others. But there are sort of times when, you know, particularly when he might not be looking straight down the camera, where you could kind of swear it's the real guy.
Wow.
And opposite him, Jeremy Strong from Succession is Roy Cohn, and it's another magnificent performance. He's a utter lizard of a human being.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of humanity going on there.
The film
manages to find some, but that sort of they make watchable two pretty gross men orbiting each other. Let's face it, if you can't stand the guy, you're not going to want to watch this film. If you're interested in the backstory or you know it and would like to see it dramatized, it's a good watch. And you know, it has a lot of fun at his expense. Though we should never lose sight of the actual real life risk of DJT.
Yeah.
So that's The Apprentice. That's out on the 10th of October. Keep an eye out for some advanced screenings. I reckon there'll probably be a few popping up over the next week, but it's definitely one to go catch when it comes out. And this week is the Joker sequel, sort of tying it all back together.
Yeah,
haven't seen it. Going to go see that tonight. Hated the first one.
Interesting.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, wow. Okay, well, have the best time at Joker 2.
Oh, I'm going to have the best time.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much, Steve. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, oh, sorry, quick recap on the things mentioned. Wolfs is on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
It's gone straight to streaming. It would have been good to see this in cinemas. It looks really good. It's got a good visual flair, but it's an Apple thing. It's like it's to, you know, drive traffic to their streaming site.
Yeah.
Killer Heat, yeah, it's on Prime Video, but it's not a recommendation.
Yeah.
Megalopolis is in cinemas. If it does sound interesting, that's the place to see it.
Yeah.
And The Apprentice will be in cinemas real soon.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you so much, Steve. A lot to go see in the next week or two.
Do your homework. Do your homework, people.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right.
Or just see shit that you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that also works.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to rewatch Joker 1 before you watch Joker 2?
Yeah, should I watch that on my phone now? Is that what everyone would have intended?
Yes. Yes. Right. Beauty.
See you next week.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.